When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Your home for the Royals. Playoff baseball tomorrow afternoon right here on 96.5. The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 2 o'clock. Vern's going to also join us throughout this entire week. Normally, we only have him on Wednesday. Oh, no, it's playoff time. So he's on with us every day this week. As long as the Royals keep winning, Vern's going to keep on coming on this show. That works for me. I hope he's on this show the entire month, every single day.
Yeah, what do I care? I'm actually having to make tentative plans, like, for multiple things where you're like, well, if the Royals are still, probably not. If the Royals are out, then okay, I am available for you.
And again, we've got a couple watch parties tomorrow and on Wednesday. We will be out at Jefferson's in Lenexa. We're just going to be doing our show live, talking Royals baseball from 10 to 2, and then we'll hand things off to Vern. And everybody from the station is going to be hanging out, watching the Royals take on the Orioles. And I want to do just a quick look, because we'll have plenty of time tomorrow to talk a little bit more specific. Maybe yes. We'll go out to Baltimore, get their feeling on their team. This was the matchup I think everybody wanted a path. It doesn't mean that it's a pushover by any means, but I prefer going to Baltimore, going up against this young Orioles
Although
team.
We're not everybody. There are people who have preferred Houston.
Yeah, and you guys can text in or call. Give us a call, 913-586-7965, what you make of this draw, this path, if you will, for the Royals, because I do think this is, for a wild card round, the best of the two scenarios. The Orioles, much like the Royals, are a very young team. Yeah, some of them were in the playoffs a year ago, but still a young baseball team versus an Astros team that we all know had, for what, over the last decade, have been in the playoffs just about every dang year, had been in ALCSs, had 100-plus games. The Astros start off slow, and then they got hot and played great baseball the rest of the way, won the division after all of that. So I think that's the different feeling. This was you could be playing an AL West champion Astros team in that crappy ballpark, or play Baltimore, who is a wild card team. So, I'll take playing Baltimore. Corbin Burns is the real deal. We know that. But after that, they've got some issues in their rotation. You know, their bullpen, not great. Just like the Royals, not a great bullpen either. You know, they got Sir Anthony Dominguez or whatever, right? That's their closer. Yes. He's pretty damn good. Other than that, they got some issues. So they're a more flawed team. Just like the Royals are flawed as well. And that's why I like this matchup better. I can tell you, at least over at FanDuel, the odds for the series and for the game. For just tomorrow, the Royals are dogs, plus 132, going up against Corbin Burns. The total for the game, over under 7. So they're thinking it's a pitcher's duel, low-scoring game.
Which, you can't blame them for thinking that just based on the way this season has gone. I way prefer Baltimore to Houston. Now, I told you, even though that was the case, the only way I thought this team was winning in the postseason was to have Reagans and Lugo pitch in a wild card series. So I would have taken the trade off.
Gotcha.
If you had told me, hey, screw it. You got to get Reagans and Lugo lined up, or you don't get them lined up and you get Houston or, you know, like Baltimore. I'd have taken getting them lined up. But Baltimore had a losing July. They barely had a winning June. Losing July. Losing August, they finished one game above 500 in September. The Royals finished three games below in September. So this is not a team that is playing well. Honestly, they're not playing well at all. The only thing, and I think this is going to be a problem no matter who you face, that I don't love about this matchup, that I also wouldn't have liked about Houston, that I still won't like about New York if they advance the next series, is these are ballparks that do not favor the Royals' strength. The Royals' strength is pitching, specifically starting pitching. And if all it takes is one little oopsie can of corn pop up to the shortstop to go over the right field fence because of these stupid joke-sized ballparks, well, then we're having a little bit of a problem. Now, I'll say Baltimore is a little bit more favorable than Houston in that
regard.
Yeah, I
don't want Houston's ballpark. That sucks.
Houston sucks, and the Yankees sucks. And I know it's an equal advantage for both teams, but I think what you find out in Major League Baseball, and the Royals do this too, is you build your team around your ballpark. You're more successful in your ballpark. There's a reason why the Royals score more in the ballpark, because Bobby can put it in a gap and standing on third, no problem. MJ can put it in a gap and stand at third on occasion. But overall, this is a much better matchup. The one thing I saw that people don't like about it is they're worried that by doing it this way, you'd get the Yankees second and not the Guardians. And you and I both seen them be very successful against the Guardians. What I would tell you is, even if you got the Guardians in the other end, odds are you'd probably get the Yankees anyway. So who are you avoiding?
For how long? For me, it's just that, hey, if you win a wild card series, means you're playing some good baseball, you beat a good team.
I'll take my chances.
And you'll just, yeah, you're going to have to go through some good teams if you're going to have a special month of October. And you don't know what breaks are going to go your way either. I mean, there's so many different things. If the Yankees, you know, we had Cody Decker on the show when we were out in Vegas, actually, in August. And maybe we'll try to get Cody on the show this week.
He didn't think it was good for the Yankees.
He thought the layoff could be a problem for the Yankees. So there's always those conversations, the rust factor, all of that comes into play. If you get to an ALDS, worry about the wild card round and then worry about taking on the Yankees and all the pressure, I agree with you, of course, would be on the Yankees at that point in time. But some of the ballpark concern in Baltimore that goes away if Vinny's back, and as we talked about at 10:30, there's a real scenario now where he could come back 2 weeks earlier than anybody ever expected. You know, on Bally Sports Saturday, J.J. Piccolo was quoted as saying, quote, "We're more concerned with can he help us win a ball game on Tuesday? If the answer is yes, he'll probably be in that lineup." The fact that that is
probably be in that lineup is just not
that's a real thing now. And J.J. Piccolo will join us tomorrow at 10:30 here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. But if he's in the lineup, that makes me less concerned about the ballpark, because they're going to have to actually pitch to Bobby if that happens. They're going to have to pitch to Salvi if that happens.
And they might pitch to Vinny initially, but some good pitches and some stuff he can drive.
And in that ballpark, maybe let's say you even think his power is a little bit less because of the thumb. Well, in that ballpark, that's actually a positive versus playing at Kauffman, or a bigger park. So there's some give and take on both ends here.
Can I say that I think baseball is doing this all wrong? I like that they went to the three game series instead of the one game, even though I know we're getting ready to talk about the wild card game in Kansas City, which is the single greatest baseball game I'm certainly have ever gone to. Maybe the single greatest sporting event I've ever gone to. I have now been fortunate enough to attend an overtime Super Bowl win for the Chiefs, so maybe a debate there for
that's
me
up
personally.
There as well. That is up there.
That's
as well.
That's 1-2. There's not another game to enter the conversation, but why the hell can you not have this 2 on the road and 1 at home? Why aren't you giving? You gave all these extra playoff games. You talked about all these extra playoff teams, and you're not even giving a team who actually makes the playoffs a chance to fill Kauffman Stadium for one wild card game. I understand the schedule part of this, and they don't want to be playing in like mid-November.
Yes.
It's one, just make them play the next day. They play 100, this is what I don't understand about baseball. They play 162 games, gold 50 times. They play a game that day, and then I'm going to, just shocking new information. They travel, and then they play in a different city the next day. It's a wild concept. I know no one's ever heard of it. But sometimes they travel to play a different day in a different city the next day. Why can't game three of the wild card series on Thursday be in their home stadium? I think their problem is they don't want a deciding game to be advantageous for the other team. Who cares? It's a wild card. Play better if you don't want to play one game on the road in game three.
Other than timing, but you're right. They play back-to-backs in other cities all the time. I think it is also for the wild card setup. You add in additional teams to the wild card picture, but still, you know, if you're the four seed, in this case, the Orioles, still in it, that's one of the advantages you get of being the top wild card. You know, I mean, I think I'm fine with there being still a little bit of an advantage in that regard. I know we
so
talk
saying,
about
two games to one. That's the advantage.
Yeah, but I'm just fine. I mean, you know, since they've switched to this a couple years ago, how many of them, these wild card games, have gone three?
I don't know. It's such a small sample size.
I'm just curious because, look, I'm fine with it. I like the three versus just the one, even though the one worked out for the Royals in 14. We'd have a different opinion on it if that wild card game was different.
They're winning that series if it's a series, too, because of how that game went.
Sure, but like I like the best of three with this pitching staff more than just one game. I'll take my chances in a best of three with Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha as my starting pitching going up against anybody, frankly. That's the beautiful thing now that they're in. We talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Just get in, and you've got the pitching to cause some concern for opponents, and that's what we have now. And the question will be, if Vinny's back in the lineup, can the offense step up? The offense still was not good enough. You know, they lost on Friday. They clinched, but they lost on Friday. They only scored one run. So some of that was Max Fried. Some of that was the Royals' hitting struggles. But it changes if Vinny, like, honestly, we saw what it made. Like, I don't want to hear from anybody that says, oh, well, one player can't fix it. Player destroyed it. One player destroyed it. That one player might be back in the lineup tomorrow.
They were the 11th best offense in baseball with Pasquantino. And since he's been hurt, they are, and this is not a statistical, like, I'm not being hyperbolic, dead last, the worst offense in baseball. So one guy certainly had an impact, seemingly, because I don't know how you can argue the other side. I did look it up, by the way, how many of the series went more than, and it's only been 2 years, obviously. In the first year, one of the wild card games went 4-1 in the following year. So it's a pretty low number, but you don't want the full three games. The other ones were sports.
I mean, I'll be, of course you take game one. There's just a massive advantage to doing that for obvious reasons. But if it were to go to a game three, I feel good about that matchup. Now it all depends on the order. Cause if I tell you they take game one and then it still goes game three, you're like, uh-oh, all the momentum's on Baltimore's side. This is what's so fun about playoff baseball. If you steal one in game one with Reagans on the mound, then of course the math is in your favor, but also just in terms of pressure and all that. Whereas if you drop game one, you're the road team and
Lugo's got to deliver. Well, I guess in this case, Reagans has got to deliver. The other advantages, and this is how you can help yourself in playoff series. And the Royals helped themselves in playoff series when they went sweep, 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 sweep all the way through 2014. Because
you can just keep
if you sweep, Reagans can either go in game one of the Yankees series on 4 days rest or full rest for game two, Lugo full rest for game three. You know, like you can set yourself up a million ways if you actually are successful. This is why I'm excited. I like just even discussing the possibilities of this.
That's fun, man.
And I'm also, maybe I'm jealous. I said, like, why can't you get one wild card game of the three at Kauffman Stadium? That's probably because today is the 10th anniversary of the 2014 American League wild card game. Both you and I were in attendance for one of the single greatest baseball games of all time. I actually went back and watched some of the highlights. And tonight, right here on 96.5 The Fan, you can listen to innings 8 through 12, the juicy part of the game.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock, right here on 96.5 The Fan. But, like, going back to that game, they immediately... A score two in the first inning. Royals get it back even in the first inning. Then there's the Yordano Ventura home run, the final call. It's one of the single greatest baseball games ever to be played. And yeah, I want to feel those moments again.
10 years ago.
Pitch. Swinging a ground ball to third is fair! Fair ball! Up the left field line. Here's Colon. And the Royals win it.
Man, that never gets old, does it?
It doesn't, but you know what's great? That's what's exciting about tomorrow and Wednesday and, if needed, Thursday and hopefully an ALDS and all that, is that call we've been playing for 10 years, man. And you're right. It's an epic call. It's an all-timer from Ryan, and it's a moment we will never forget. But man, I want another call from Ryan or Denny that we're playing
or
for
Jake Eisenberg or whoever.
Right? Yeah, like any of those guys. They're all great. I want an epic call from one of them. Have them have the opportunity for that epic moment because it's created by Salvi again, or it's Vinny, or it's, you know what, playoff baseball special. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, MJ Melendez or something.
Christian Colon's in that highlight. Yeah, yeah. It's not like he was a big-time player for the Royals.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what's fun about baseball. What highlight are we going to be playing for years and years and
Freddie
years?
Freddie Fermin
right.
Double down the line are we going to play? So, in that game, there's two things that always stood out. Obviously, the down the line, you know, just like the back and forth and all that. There's the initial moment when you're like, this team is screwed. I can't believe I spent all this money to come to a wild card game for this.
Right now, it's all on the shoulders of 23-year-old Ventura. In the air to center field and pretty well hit. Lorenzo Cain is back and has no chance. Brandon Moss has done
freaking
it
Brandon
again.
Moss, man.
Oh,
Brandon
like
Moss.
He was going to go down like Bumgarner or anybody else, and you just didn't know. It's just like the ultimate, like, I hate you guy in this town because it had been 30 years. So that moment was the most deflating. It was the quietest the building was. Everyone felt depressed. Even though there was a game-winning hit in that game, I swear to God, of all the sporting events I've gone to in my entire life, I have never been in a building that was louder than in this moment.
In the air to left center field. Gomes is back, and so is Ford, and the ball is off the wall. Hosmer around second. He's on his way to third standing. And the tying run is 90 feet away.
That is definitely up there. The only other building in terms of...
Because I thought he was going to catch it and just like...
The only other like just peak of noise for a play, I still think... If we're going across the parking lot, Mahomes' AFC title game run against the Tennessee Titans, that run where, you know, Mitch Schultz is calling, he's not out of bounds yet. Yeah. That's an all-time moment, but also I think that was a peak.
In the building. You and I were next to each other for that, weren't we? No, I couldn't have been
because I was with some family
different.
For that one.
Okay, I was like, I was
AFC title, the Titans year. No.
I was trying to remember if we were near each other for that one.
No, not for that. Obviously for the last couple Super Bowls, we've been next to each other or whatever. But the wild card game, I mean, anytime the Facebook memory pops up with a photo, of being at that game, I mean, how does it not bring back great, great memories? I remember the stories, at the time of 2014, for the city where the crime was down in October, the whole month.
People were too busy.
People were happy, too busy. Life was good. All of that, you know, like that was one of the side benefits to the Royals run.
I mean,
we could sure use that again. Like, so, I mean, that the whole city changes. And I think this time it's different because I unfortunately think it's going to take the Royals getting to the ALDS for the city to have anywhere near
to
that.
To come alive that same way.
Because I can just tell already, man, like I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but I can tell it is not the same vibe right now as it was in 14, and the team is heading into a wild card game series. I'm not saying people aren't excited. Of course they are. But we were all here in 14. We all know what that's like. Hell, even the text about the merchandise stuff, it tells me it's not the same. I think it's going to take them winning this series in Baltimore for the city to really feel it.
I think people still, and this is this comes from winning. This absolutely comes from winning. You're still waiting for the shoe to drop. And I think it's easy to feel that way right now because I think if they had Vinny and they had not lost, let's say there's 2 7-game losing streaks, I think there is a little more buzz, a little more energy. But because they're like, well, you know, and this happened and then I wasn't sure and then maybe it's the case. And again, the thirst in 2014, I would say, is relatively unparalleled. That wasn't meant to be a knock on Sporting Kansas City, who had won the MLS Cup before, but it has a smaller fan base overall than baseball and NFL in this country. And so as a result of that, it just felt like all eyes were on you. And honestly, in my entire lifetime, I don't know how many times I'd seen the Royals even sell out a game. Okay, I mean, just dead serious. Right. Just sell out a basketball.
Some opening days occasionally,
Halfway through that season, Ned Yost was criticized for coming on the media and saying, hey, anyone going to come to these games, essentially? Anybody going to show up and do something? And that's a whole different part of the conversation, Gold, that doesn't exist. Because halfway through that wild card game, weren't we talking about whether or not Ned... When he put Ventura in, Ryan Lefever this morning said he thought in that moment... Ned can't survive this. Dayton's going to have to fire Ned Yost, even though he thought Ned was a nice guy and a good coach. Dayton's going to have to fire Ned Yost for that decision.
Should have seen social media at that moment. Everybody just assumed he was going to be fired. And it's amazing. And this, now think about the legacy and how people view Ned Yost. That that is what is so awesome about playoff baseball. Yeah. It, for whether it's for your manager, whether it's for your owner, whether it's for your GM, individual players, no matter what they had done prior to that, you go on a special postseason run, your legacy in this city changes forever.
Yes.
There are some cities and where obviously on the flip side, it can change forever in the negative, right? If you have those moments.
If you're a Jets fan,
you know,
sure.
Whatever it may be. But if you have a special hit, if you have an unbelievable shutout, you know, seven innings of shutout baseball, if you're Cole Reagans, if you're Ursegg and you come in and end up striking out the side to take game one tomorrow afternoon, yeah. Those are memories people will not forget. You will be cherished forever. That's what's awesome. And now I'm happy for the group that they have a chance to have those. Regular season was great. We all acknowledge that. Regular season's great. Unbelievable turnaround. JJ's going to be executive of the year. All of that. Q won't end up being manager of the year, but he was damn close to it. All that is great. But ultimately, how the very casual fan that hasn't gone to the K all year, that maybe didn't watch any games because they didn't want to pay money on Bally, that maybe listened to a few Royals games on the radio this year, that fan is waiting for your playoff moment to fully invest and buy in. That's what's special about tomorrow and the next couple days.
My brother told me he did not buy his Bally subscription until there was he got a 7-day free trial with 7 days to go in the regular season.
I guess you can cancel that now.
So, well, that was his plan, so that he could get the rest of the games on TBS or whatever, right? So, yeah, the buy-in's tougher. I think it's also tougher again when the Chiefs are good. All these things are related. There's a lot of moving parts in all of this, but it is still kind of wild.
All right, let's get to it, Drew.
Computer's frozen.
The trash of the day. So let's get to that. We go to a story involving some food. Who doesn't like a chicken sandwich? Maybe a fried chicken sandwich, grilled chicken sandwich, whatever it may be. This one has to do with a restaurant in New York City. There's a fried chicken sandwich that has caused social media to get into a food frenzy. So chicken sandwich, all good. This chicken sandwich has the chicken leg attached to it still.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, the claw. Disgusting. Disgusting.
Okay, so is this any different than having like the fish head still there for like a nice fish dish?
I just want a chicken sandwich. There is a long leg and claw sitting. This wasn't an accident. This is a popular thing.
Is the part
thing.
I'm going to eat the sandwich boneless? Like, is that part of the chicken boneless? Because that's going to be kind of important for my enjoyment of it.
Bird Box opened in July. Clawed the Claw is the signature item at the East Coast Fried Chicken Hotspot. It's a sandwich filled with an entire chicken quarter, thigh and drumstick, that you would find in like a supermarket meat aisle. And the Bird Box version still has the leg attached all the way down to the foot.
I mean,
I'm out.
I'll say this.
I don't want a claw with my chicken sandwich.
Have you ever eaten fish with the head still attached?
I don't eat fish. You know this.
You've eaten some fish. You said you've eaten
salmon.
I've had
salmon twice in my life.
That's it?
Yeah.
Twice in your whole life?
Yep.
Okay. That's tougher then.
This is
way
different.
What about, like, would you eat from a pig if it had an apple in its mouth, you know, and there's just like pork on the other side? Have you ever had pig? I've had pig with the head still on it.
No.
And I've had fish with the head still on it. No. So I guess how can I say that this claw is different?
So you're going to.
I didn't like put a fork, I guess, in the pig.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was on this. I did with the fish.
Cody, I've got my bun.
I've had fish with the head still attached. Do you eat out of the middle of it?
I go to Chick-fil-A. I got my bun. I got my pickle. I got my chicken sandwich. And you're telling me all of a sudden I had a claw sticking out the side of it? No.
You can just cut it off if you want. It doesn't matter.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think it's hard for me to make the argument if I've already eaten other foods in which
it's not the same as a tomahawk
you can
steak.
See part of
a tomahawk
it.
Steak I've had. That's not I don't view that as the same. That would be like if the bone is not the problem. It's the claw.
It's the claw.
It's the claw, not
so
the bone.
So if it just had a bone sticking out like it was a handle of chicken, you're
that'd
living
be
your
weird,
life.
But whatever. Dude, we've all had drumsticks. We've all had
I was like, you're actively doing
we've,
this.
We've all had the claw is the problem, but it's very popular.
It's the sharp talon part. Well, part of it is because someone wants to be able to post it on like Instagram.
It's New York. They just want attention, and here we are. We're talking about them. Smart on this Bird Box place. How much does it say how much the sandwich is? That's what I want to know. Is it way more money? Someone says it's a 10 and a half out of a 10. San Diego native was eating it. The craziest chicken sandwich I've ever had. Here's the photo of what it looks like without the bun. If you're watching our video stream.
Yeah, it looks kind of crazy. I mean, I guess, still the question I have is, Do they keep the bone attached to it just in the fire part, or is there a bone the whole way up the sandwich?
It says the chicken is brined in salt bath, marinated in buttermilk for 5 days, then double fried, splashed in spiced duck fat, and served with two types of house-made mayo.
Sounds quite decadent.
They claim the leg is not a gimmick, but a sign of authenticity and its commitment to high-quality chicken.
Again, my issue still is I don't want to eat a chicken sandwich. A sandwich should have no bones in it because you're eating the bread with it.
I agree.
I don't mind food having like a wing or, you know, a drumstick, but like I gotta know that I'm eating around that thing. A sandwich is designed in a way where I'm just supposed to take big bites out of it and be done. So I don't understand.
There you go. That's the trash of the day. Up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk more about the news involving Rashee Rice and the ACL or reported ACL injury. What does that mean for this offense? And yes, give me the names. You can call in and text in 913-586-7965. Give me the names of who you want the Chiefs to go after.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid. The only place on a Monday in Kansas City you can hear from the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs is your home for the Chiefs. 96.5, The Fan. We expect to get official confirmation from Andy on the unfortunate injury news for Rashee Rice. You guys by now have seen the reports from what Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, James Palmer, I believe, as well, have said, which is that Rashee Rice is going to miss the rest of the season with an ACL injury. Completely sucks. Of course, it occurred on the Mahomes interception, then a freak play where they're both running to try to get the ball carrier. Rashee Rice is trying to force the fumble there, and Mahomes, his helmet appeared to kind of hit the knee of Rice, and then caused the knee, of course, to...
Just terribly unlucky.
To buckle or whatever. So really, really unfortunate for him on an individual level, of course. He was having a great year. And then for this team, and where do you go from here? The first we talked about this, we were mentioning, you know, what it does for the entire offense, big picture. And there's no doubt it sets them back, and they're in a worse spot than they were a year ago.
They're in a worse spot, yes. I agree.
But at the same time, this beautiful thing called the trade deadline does still exist, and it's still 4.5 weeks away. And so I think that is a potential option depending on how the next couple weeks go. So you guys can text in. You already did, some of you. 913-586-7965. Or call in. Tell me your solution to kind of fix the absence of Rice. There's no making up for losing Rashee Rice. There's not. Much like when we discussed with the Royals. When Vinny Pasquantino was out, there is nothing you can do that is going to replace that. You can go out and get Tommy Pham, et cetera. They can help you. You're not replacing 100 RBI. Well, you're not replacing Rashee Rice, who is possibly going to have a 1,400-1,400-yard season.
Correct.
You don't replace that. But what can you do? I think for the first couple weeks, Cody, this is just an in-house thing. Because I don't know of any team that, even though we can look from the outside and say, hey, Tennessee, if they lose tonight to the Dolphins, you're 0-4, trade DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think they're bailing on it that early with a first-year head coach. I don't believe the Cleveland Browns are because of that division being close right now, still, I don't think they're bailing yet. So Amari Cooper, that's a name I'm interested in. DeAndre Hopkins, a name I'm interested in. I think both might be available eventually. But if you're expecting Brett Veach tomorrow to pull off a trade, I think you're getting ahead of yourself.
I also think that that's just fundamentally irresponsible. The fact that you are 4-0 actually buys you a little leverage.
Agreed.
Here. Buys you a little bit of leeway in the sense that you can buy yourself some time to find out, okay, I guess let's see how we look now with Xavier Worthy as our number one. Last year, the Chiefs got to look at what their offense was going to look like for a while, and they eventually went out and at least added Mecole Hardman. They told themselves, well, we better add something. This is where I would tell you, I think a lot of people have caviar dreams, and we don't have that kind of budget. So I'm just going to say, some of these names are going to toss out. I don't fundamentally think the Chiefs can afford to pay and trade for and make that work.
Tell me of these which you think are unrealistic, though.
I think DeAndre Hopkins could be too expensive.
Okay.
He's an $18 million cap number, even if you ask the Titans to take on a huge chunk of that cap. It's going to have to be huge. That $4 million that they have remaining in space, it's not going to...
No, yeah.
To rework it, and you need it for other things, and there's other guys in the 53, and all these things you have to, like, sign and rework. You need a few million dollars throughout a season just to kind of live. It's like paying rent, like, to just make budget, essentially. I think he might be off the tip. Amari Cooper's cap number is incredibly low.
Yeah, he's finally earned his contract.
So I can't say that that's out of play.
And we know his name came up in the Brandon Ayuk trade stuff this offseason. Ultimately, it never happened, but he was a name that came up a little bit. I think Amari Cooper definitely is a name to watch. But again, it's not happening this week. The Browns, are to me, are not punting on their season to do that yet. But Amari Cooper is really interesting, depending on what the offense looks like over the next couple weeks. Are the Carolina Panthers, who just traded for Deontay Johnson this past offseason for very little, are they willing to do that?
As long another as cap number where it's difficult. His cap number's a little high.
It's a little bit higher.
Lower than DeAndre Hopkins, but still a little high.
At least with Deontay Johnson, he's younger. That you might, you know, if there's a, if that might be something. Deontay Johnson, does he have a year left after this?
He does.
So that one might help. He might be able to help you in the future anyway. Whereas Amari Cooper, I wouldn't want him past a year anyway. So that deal makes a little bit more sense. And then you get into what you're willing to give up. You and I were talking about this off air in the bullpen before the show. Just like how they went ahead and were so quick to switch away from the rookie that they invested a high pick in Kingsley and go back to Wanye, this organization has shown with their actions that in a year in which they're going for a three-peat, for the first time anybody's done that in NFL history, they are not going to let anything derail this campaign.
They don't want to come out with an excuse of like, well, the injury stopped us.
Like, look, our hands are tied. We can't do anything about it. So I do think it is more likely this year that they'd be willing to make a trade at the deadline, near the deadline, for a wide receiver than they were. Like last year, like obviously we were all saying
they were defending Super Bowl champs last year.
And remember the story from last year, ultimately not as many wide receivers were as available. And that's what's going to be interesting over the next month, closer to the deadline. Who's actually available? Because last year everybody had their wish list as well. And what do we find out at the end of the deadline?
Only like two of those guys.
Yeah, like one or two got moved. And the asking price was either way too high or teams just didn't have an appetite to trade. And you also run in. Teams aren't trying to help anybody, but they definitely don't want to help you out.
I'll say this. I do not want the Chiefs to be as desperate as some of the fan suggestions I've seen.
Like?
Oh, I've seen people mention Kadarius Toney.
No. Dude, oh, wait, there's one on the text line right now.
I'm just telling you right now. Okay. I would not make that up. There's no point in making that up. There are realistic people who seem to think the solution to this
could be. There's no way anybody
could be.
No.
Kadarius Toney.
Stop.
I've yet to see a Justin Ross text now, but
I'll be honest, you know, if your solution is Kadarius Toney, then I would rather than just see what Nico Remigio and Justin Ross have at that point. You're done. You finally moved on from Toney. You do not know. Absolutely not.
I'll give my real suggestions in just a minute. But if your actual suggestion is the Chiefs should just bring back Kadarius Toney, why not just give him another shot? I'm going to save you and the Chiefs a bunch of favors. The Chiefs should, instead of doing that, instead of going after Kadarius Toney, they should keep their $4 million and slam their penis in a car door, because that would be preferable as an experience than bringing back Kadarius Toney at this point. That's never going to work. Don't ever suggest that to me again. Two realistic options I have for you. Darius Slayton, who I think is a 700-yard receiver, capable, viable. None of these are going to be exciting to you. Bad news of the two I'm going to suggest. He's been consistently a producer. He's like a 700-yard guy. He's still in his mid-20s. He's 27, 28 years old. Mm-hmm. He's been a good fit, and he's been productive even with the Giants, for God's sakes. And believe it or not, even though I don't think I would have said this, this is like in the Toney path, but I wouldn't have thought this 5 years ago, a reliable wide receiver who's available for dirt cheap if one team keeps losing 3 weeks from now, DeMarcus Robinson. Like it or not, no wide receiver you could target could pick up your system faster, and with a good quarterback like Matthew Stafford,
Have you seen that division, though? They're not out of the hunt.
I said they have to lose.
Yeah, the Rams aren't going to be out of the hunt, and they have an injured Cooper Kupp and an injured Puka Nacua. DeMarcus Robinson's like their number one, number two receiver right now, so I don't believe he would even be available. Honestly, eventually you can look at trades, but if you felt like in-house you didn't have anybody to even help assist and you don't have as much faith, I would rather at least bring in for a workout a Michael Thomas type. He's a free agent, slant boy, veteran. I don't think there's much left. I don't really believe there, but bring him in for a workout. Just see if there's anything there.
Fine.
Sure. Doesn't cost you any compensation.
Yeah, if it's free, why not? I mean, just see if he's got his sea legs left.
I just want to, hey, come out here and run, please. Can I, do your legs function?
Yes, because like the other one, someone said Christian Kirk, looked him up, he's too expensive. He's got too many years left on his deal for too high of a cap hit. Like, I understand, like, it's an easy way to, like, go through these rosters and understand the teams that stink and try to figure out the guys who are on the street. But the truth is, no team. Because, like, I saw Drew over the weekend. He said, this is why they should have drafted a second wide receiver. But the truth is, and this isn't even meant to be a knock on Drew, but I just think no team in the NFL is fundamentally in any way equipped to handle losing their number one and number two wide receiver. There's no amount of preparation, draft picks, dreaming, free agent signings. There's no amount of that that any team is properly equipped to handle losing their number one and number two wide receiver. Because had the Chiefs taken another wide receiver in the fifth round, I'd still be telling you that they need to go find a veteran wide receiver to take the heat off. Unless for some reason they found Antonio Brown in the fifth. If we're dreaming scenarios in which they also got it incredibly correct and they had
pre-crazy,
Cooper Kupp or
pre-crazy
Puka Nacua,
Antonio
fine,
Brown.
But like, yeah. Well, I just meant, like, I was just trying to think of like late round successful wide receivers. He's probably a free agent.
Yes,
you
he is.
Call Antonio Brown?
No, I do not.
The whole reason
I'd actually rather prefer Toney than that one.
The whole reason I said that, though, is because you can avoid throwing the ball to Sky Moore, and I understand that they want to keep him around because of the second round pick and all of that stuff, but there is anybody who they could have drafted would have been more productive than what Sky Moore has given you, and you know it. We knew that Sky Moore would not play this year. We knew that he was not good enough to be a wide receiver that's
productive. Everyone's sixth wide receiver, though, you know? He's still their fourth wide receiver.
I understand, and why not cover yourself? Because injuries inevitably happen. That's why Bink and I, from the jump, didn't understand why they didn't take one in the fourth round. Forget the fifth round.
Nobody covers in the draft. When you're going through draft needs, no team in the NFL says, well, we better cover our ass at sixth wide receiver. I'll just be honest.
I understand that.
Nobody.
But why would you, when we talk about upgrading the room that you're in and continuing to do it, why would you not take the chance to not have to worry about, oh, if there is an injury, then we have to rely on Sky Moore potentially. That's why I think there was no risk in taking a wide receiver in the fourth or fifth round. Because if they bust, it doesn't matter because Sky already has busted before in your roster. Sorry, it did not come out properly. Not the way that I wanted it to, but
it's fine. Keep going.
But to me, why would you not try to cover your bases where you, because from the jump, Sky was so bad last year, he was unproductive. That's why I thought they shouldn't have had him on the roster by drafting another wide receiver.
He's a six wide receiver.
You could have gotten rid of Tony.
I hear you, man. I
know, but they have to play
him. I hear you, but also
they didn't until their number one and number two wide receiver got
hurt. I know that, but other teams have. We see it all throughout. DeMarcus Robinson is not supposed to be a number one wide receiver. The Rams aren't. The Rams are down their top two wide receivers as well. And I don't know if they drafted anybody else, but the question can be asked for them as well. Why not keep upgrading? Give your quarterback, who is the best in the league, the best weapons that you can instead of relying on Kadarius Toney last year and Sky Moore last year.
They signed Hollywood Brown. They drafted a first-round pick at wide receiver.
So a couple things, though. Like the D-Rob comparison, D-Rob was their fourth or fifth. So that's like now saying that Justin
Watson.
No, but you're saying Sky, nobody. The Chiefs don't even think Sky Moore now has to be their number one. That's Justin Watson or Xavier Worthy. So like,
but Sky's your three?
Yeah, and can you even name the three of the Rams now? My point is,
I just told you that I couldn't. But the Rams.
That's my point. So it doesn't. That was an undrafted guy.
Stinks.
Hindsight is a hell of a thing, and I know Drew, you did have the take back to your credit. And if you want to continue to like, that's fine. I can give you credit if you want. Like in April. You said before the draft you always wanted to take two receivers. That's fine. It's on the record. Yes. We can keep that on the record. We know that. I would say though that hindsight and otherwise hindsight is a hell of a thing. And yes, if you told the Chiefs in April that Hollywood Brown, who they signed, was going to miss the entire season possibly, and that in week four Rashee Rice was going to miss the rest of the season, yeah, maybe they would have. But no team goes into the season thinking their number one and number two receivers are going to have season-ending injuries.
Yeah, and instead
you don't prepare. I'm sorry, that's not like. Well, you should have prepared. Nobody prepares that way. Just like in the NFL, even with quarterbacks, like no kidding. If last year the Jets knew that Aaron Rodgers four snaps in was going to tear his Achilles, they probably would have had a better backup quarterback.
The problem you're mentioning here, Drew, is you're like, well, just take a guy in the fourth round. Well, then at the time that they needed the depth, did they need Jaden Hicks at safety more? They did take in the fourth round.
Jared Wiley, they took in the fourth round. Yeah,
this is the problem. I'm using the example of the guy they could have taken that you like, and you're using the example of the player that they didn't. And at the time, they needed tight end. They didn't have a third tight end at the time. They had a sixth wide receiver. Like, and I would just tell you, I could go to anybody's roster. I could go to Bengals, Jets, anybody's roster. And yes, I could make an argument that the sixth wide receiver on the team should be cut, should never see the field, shouldn't be on the field. The league's not that deep. There aren't six guys 32 times over. No draft pick was going to select it. You can't even be guaranteed, like, let's say you made it later in the draft. A fifth or a sixth round pick would do it. I mean, if we're talking realistic options, I still think you got to go veteran, though, guys. Gold. I mean, who's your dream guy? You want DeAndre Hopkins if you can get the money? Who is the guy?
Yeah, I mean, if money can work, DeAndre Hopkins, I don't think that's realistic. Amari Cooper, I think, is definitely one to watch, though, if things continue going the way they are for the Cleveland Browns. But ultimately, who's truly available? Because I'll mention, as I said earlier, that last year everybody thought all these names were available, and it turns out the asking price was ridiculous. And so while I think the Chiefs might be willing to pay a little bit more than a year ago because they're going for a three-peat, I think this front office, Brett Veach, why they're in this position is they've made very smart financial and draft-related trades, compensation-related trades. And I don't think they're going to just suddenly throw that all out the window for the three-peat. Maybe they're more aggressive, but like DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, like they're not suddenly giving up second round draft picks, nor should they for those guys. I would not make that move when my defense is playing as well as it is.
But the
and
three
I saw
titles
my offense,
make some desperate, more desperate.
I agree. I think so, but I don't believe this isn't a front office that strikes me as panic. They don't. This front office doesn't panic, and I don't expect that's going to change.
I also think that last year, Sky Moore was their fourth wide receiver and they still won the Super Bowl. So, like, I just don't get that hung up on the end. But I think that they're going to have to. This is what I like about the timing of the injury. It's the only bright side to it, Gold, is they've got a month. They got a month to look at their wide receivers square in the face, find out what routes, who can run and where, and all the things that come with it. Find out how much more you can put at the feet of Xavier Worthy because the injuries and all these things, right? You're going to do all those things. And in a month, you'll still be before the trade deadline and can make the decisions you want to make about wide receiver at that time. You're not obligated to rush into this decision. And going back to the record thing, being 4-0 is going to buy you a little more time than if you were 1-3 and you just suffered this injury. Your choices are either sell off the remaining pieces who are getting ready to be on expiring contracts and punt on the entire season, or make a trade now because you might fall too far out of it, then none of it will matter. I just think they'll be more aggressive this year than last because of the back-to-back Super Bowl champion things. They just, like you said it right away at the beginning, and it's still true. They want a real chance at the three-peat, something no team in the NFL has ever done. And I don't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned the name. Some people say that DeAndre Hopkins is, at this point, washed up. The guy had 1,000 yards with Will Levis thrown in the football last year. So, I mean, I don't think that's washed up.
He had 1,000 yards last year?
Barely, but yes, 1,000.
Kudos.
And 17 games, 1,000 yards. Now, this year, the Titans stink. They also haven't played a fourth game yet.
Yeah, he also had a good game last night.
Eight catches. No, he hasn't played yet.
Or a week ago.
He's got 8 for 90 so far this year.
Yeah, but almost all of that's in one game. It's like the Travis Kelce stat line. He was really bad the first two games in which they scored no points, and then last week he was actually kind of effective. They still stink, but he had 6 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown last week. Didn't seem so washed last week against the Packers, did he?
Yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster suddenly becomes an interesting wide receiver to watch over the next couple of weeks. I know we're all talking about
his knees aren't exploding.
Xavier Worthy, and because he's the young guy and all that, and maybe they will run some crossing routes with him. But Juju Smith-Schuster, in terms of a route runner, he's one of the better route runners they have on this roster. But yeah, the question is durability. Does he have the ability to become a more involved piece consistently throughout the season?
This all goes back to the same thing. This is why three-peats are hard, because all it takes is injuries to throw a gigantic wrench into it. Like, you suffered 3 injuries. Injuries happen. That's a freak one yesterday, right? The Pacheco one, he gets kind of bent, and then like his ankle breaks, unfortunately. Like, some of them are a freak. Like, Hollywood Brown's kind of a freak injury. This one's kind of a freak injury, the Rashee Rice one. Pacheco ones, I'd say normal wear for a running back and how they get injured sometimes, but that's the way it goes sometimes. You got to find a way to battle through. The biggest scare for me is I wish it was like Pacheco's injury for one of these guys where you thought there was a realistic chance of coming back. Well, that's never happening with Rashee Rice. And Hollywood Brown feels like a long shot. I mean, he had collarbone surgery. That just doesn't feel like something you're going to recover from. Although I didn't think Vinny might play tomorrow, so the hell do I know about bones healing? I didn't think Vinny had any chance to play in a wild card series, and now I'm being told he does, so...
You know, without being a doctor...
Who am I to say Hollywood Brown can't come back in December this year?
Without being a doctor, I think I can say this definitively, that a broken thumb is not nearly as complex as sternoclavicular
and
whatever fracture.
You would say that the risk of re-injury in a sport like, let's say, football, maybe slightly greater than that of swinging a baseball bat in a baseball game?
Yeah, one has more of a risk also, like, you know, Hollywood Brown had to go to the hospital directly during the game, as in, like, it was life-threatening, potentially, if it would not have been...
taken care of properly?
Mm-hmm. Versus a broken thumb, you're going to survive.
It's also a re-injury of the same injury. He got hurt and was okay. Then it wasn't healing right, so they had to, like, reset in a million other... Just more complications than Vinny's.
Someone says we should call up the commissioner's office and go ahead and get that suspension started for Rice now. I agree. Go ahead. And you know what? Actually, after further thought with my attorney, we would actually go ahead and get this suspension started now. Go ahead. Because honestly, otherwise, guys, Rashee Rice may not play in a Chiefs uniform until next November. Think about it. That sucks, but that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, next, I guess they'll give extra time to heal from the ACL. Right side!
Okay.
Oh, but I can't be a positive person because today.
Honestly, next November might be the next time we see Rashee Rice in Chiefs uniform. I guess he could play at camp and he could play in preseason. But
I care about actual real games. Yeah. Not practice football. I care about real games. Oh, man. Like, it's so weird because you feel good that the Chiefs have been able to overcome so much of this. They've won 10 games in a row by, I don't know, combined 4 points somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's more than that. Doesn't feel like more than that. But at the same time, like, think about if you're one of these loser franchises. Chargers had everything going their way for an entire quarter of a football game, and they never scored another point for the remainder of the game, and let the Chiefs, with the same players that Drew and other people are like, I wish this guy just wasn't even on the roster, do that. And that's what pisses me off about the Sky Moore one. It's like, the route worked, the plan worked, it all worked. All you had to do is catch the football. let you down at the end there.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from Andy Reid, the only place on a Monday you can hear from the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. You're home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. I would expect more of an official update on Rashee Rice coming up next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.